Psalm 150. We begin our service in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is Psalm 150, reading as follows in Jesus' name. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you this day that we can truly praise you for your greatness, for your mercy, for your love, for that mercy that endures forever, for your steadfast love that endures forever. Your word through the psalmist tells us today that we need to continually praise you. Praise you with everything we have. All the musical instruments can praise you. All nature praises you. Again, this morning I've been listening to the birds singing outside, and they're praising the Lord. They wake up praising the Lord every morning. And so should we, as God's people, especially those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and know that our eternity is solid and it's fixed because it's in you, not in our own doing or our own efforts, but in because of what you have already done. So we praise you, Lord, for that reality. Thinking of what you went through to give your life, to shed your blood, because of your love for us, that great love that we can't even begin to comprehend. You loved us so much that you gave your life, that through that life and sacrifice, we not only can be saved from our sin, but we have a sure hope of everlasting life with you. So, Lord, again, we pray that on this Lord's Day, we would again turn our thoughts and hearts and allow you to create that attitude of praise and worship in our hearts and lives that we find maybe kind of fleeting, there at times and then gone. But as we join the psalmist today, may we say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it particularly tells us here, you all, ye means all of you. Praise the Lord. Down here in the South, they use the term y'all, which means everyone. And we kind of have modified that a little bit and say in the plural, you say all y'all. And so all y'all, praise the Lord today. Amen.
Yeah.
In our day, we are seeing around the world more and more examples of how any voice that stands up for what the scripture says is trying to be silenced. Many of you are probably aware of what happened in Finland regarding a believing woman and clergy in the church being called into court for hate speech because they simply quoted what the Bible said regarding the whole LGBT issues. So it's no surprise to see that this is happening more and more. In fact, I think it's quite the opposite. We should just be all the more aware that Christians being hauled into court for in defense of their faith. But in so doing, we need to remember what the Lord himself said, or what the scripture tells us. It says, when this happens, you don't even have to think about what you're going to say, what words to defend yourself. The Lord will give you what you need in that time. And so that's our consolation and where we go back to, trusting that the Lord will give us what we need to defend our faith and to defend his word and his promise. So may God give us the strength, especially with what we're facing in the future, not even in the future, what we're facing now in many parts of the world, but also more to come in the future, to really be the witnesses. Even though we called into court, just like these men were, and said, didn't we tell you to quit this? And they said, do we obey God rather than men? So will we obey God? Or will we obey men? God, give us the strength to be faithful to you. Greetings of God's peace from sunny South Carolina to sunny Alberta. I hope you have a sunny day this morning. We do. Again, it would be nice to be with you, but since I can't be with you personally, I'm glad for the opportunity to be able to share this way. Our text for today is from Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse 27. The reading as follows in Jesus' name. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand, to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. Then I'm going to skip down a couple of verses. And now I say to you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel is the work, or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Here in this text, we see a little bit of what the early apostles dealt with. They knew that they had to continue to proclaim this gospel message. And so even though they were thrown into prison, and just before this in the book of Acts, it tells us that they were thrown into prison, and God opened the prison doors so that they could get out. And the authorities said, "Why are you guys still preaching the gospel? I thought we put you in prison." They went and checked the prison, and they said it was tight. The doors were locked. The guards were in their place, but the apostles weren't there. What an amazing thing when you think of it. God has his ways, and his ways are above our ways, his thoughts above our thoughts. Now, you'd think by this time they would start to get a little bit of an idea that this wasn't man's doing, but perhaps there was a higher power involved. But no, man's, when he's set against God, can't really give up that easily. So anyway, they kept on preaching. And this is where our text kind of takes over. I shouldn't say where text begins here today. And after they found out that they had gotten out of prison without out of jail, and the guards were still in place, but when they checked the cells, nobody was there. And then it says, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, 'Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us.'" Interesting to see Peter's response. "Don't you think we should obey God rather than men?" A pretty simple answer. But in reality, they were kind of walking a tightrope, because they realized their lives were in danger. Their lives could be taken. But yet, because they were trusting God, they had the boldness and confidence to go ahead and continue proclaiming the gospel. And it's interesting that the Sanhedrin and even the officers at that time said, "You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." They realized that they had been instrumental in his death, which they felt was what they had to do. They didn't even realize that this was all part of God's plan. Part of God's plan that he should die, that he should be crucified, that he give his life. Because through that death and resurrection, we have life, and life more abundant. And we've been given the Holy Spirit so that now we can go throughout the world, wherever our world is, and perhaps even beyond, to proclaim this word, what God's plan is for mankind. What is God's plan for mankind? That they should come to know a loving, merciful Heavenly Father. Jesus paid the penalty for the sins of all mankind. And if only somehow this gospel could connect in their hearts and lives. For the Bible tells us that it is the preaching of this word that creates faith. The preaching of this word, what Jesus has done. The focus and emphasis is always what Jesus has done, not in what we have done or can do. And that's the difference between true Christian preaching and every other. Because there's many kinds of preaching today in the world, and a lot of it
focuses on what man must do to be saved. And you hear this continually, all the radios, or if you attend other services. That's kind of the main emphasis. Not that they don't preach Jesus. Some of them do. Most of them do. Somewhat. But yet the emphasis is on what man can do. And when we look at the Word and what Jesus tells us, we see that, yes, we need to let people know that He is the one who's already paid the penalty for their sin. All He asks mankind to do is believe it. And if they believe it, then comes, because of the Holy Spirit working, a true repentance and faith to continue to walk and trust, and also to continue to emphasize or proclaim what He has done for us. That's basically what He asks us to do, is really tell what He's done for us. And that shouldn't be too hard. Scripture tells us, be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you. But do so with meekness and fear. Make sure it's not your own words and your own ideas, but it's the Lord by His Spirit that's giving you utterance of the right words to reach the heart and life of the other person. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit, because we can't do it without Him. Otherwise, it's just words, but with the Holy Spirit speaking and creating faith in the heart, then God gives the faith for the person to believe. So in spite of the fact that they were commanded that you should not teach in this name, they had filled Jerusalem with their teaching. Then Peter said, don't you think we should obey God rather than men? I think there's quite a few applications to this today, where we have opportunities to listen and go by man's voice instead of God's voice. Yes, I know there are many different controversies even about things in the church, but in reality, are we convinced that it's God's will and God's way, or are we more often simply convinced that that's our way, and because we're right, then that's what everybody should believe? I think it gives us good opportunity to evaluate and say, well, Lord, what is Your plan? What is Your purpose in these things too? We ought to obey God rather than man. And then Peter basically gave the reason for the basis of their faith. He said, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Here we come down to the essence of the gospel. The reason that Jesus came, gave His life, suffered, bled, and died, was to give mankind repentance and forgiveness of sins. We can quite glibly even sometime talk about forgiveness of sin. But think what a powerful and wonderful thing it is that God has, in and through what Christ has done, totally forgiven the sins of all mankind. Totally and completely. Again, we're reminded just after Easter of the thief on the cross. And I think what a powerful example this is. That he, in fact, the scripture tells us that both of them were kind of railing upon Jesus, saying, he saved others, how come he can't save himself? Why don't you save us and get us out of this mess? And then the one thief was convicted of his situation and basically said, we deserve what's coming to us, but he doesn't. And then he turned to the Lord and asked him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. What was he saying? He was repenting of his sin. He acknowledged his sinfulness and was crying out to the Lord. He believed in Jesus. And look at the scripture that tells us it's believing in him that gives us faith. It's believing in what he has done that gives us faith. It is trusting in the total work of our Lord in giving his life, shedding his blood, and all that's involved in that, that brings about in mankind a true repentance from dead works to serve a living God. And not only God can do by his Holy Spirit, that we can do. We can try, but in reality, it's nothing compared to what God does. When God gives us a conviction of who we really are, we realize that it's a long way off from being what Jesus himself has created us to be when we acknowledge that it's only in him that we have forgiveness for our humanity. We are, as the Old Testament says, we are deceitful. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do we realize the depth of that statement and the depth of our sin? We tend to focus on outward things, things that we've done or not done. In reality, our sinfulness goes so much further than that that we can't even begin to describe it. Our depravity goes so much deeper than that that we can't even describe it. But you see, the Lord understands that too, and that's why Jesus needed to go to that cross. He needed to give his life. He needed to shed his blood. And he needed to rise again, that we have hope beyond the grave and know that we have a place when he comes to receive us. We will go to be with him and be with him eternally. It tells us pretty clearly in the scripture that when Christ comes, when we see the eastern sky open and he comes for us, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. What a day that will be. When you think of all of humanity that has denied the reality of what Christ has done and scoffed and ridiculed, but everyone will see, everyone will know that this is Jesus and he's coming for us. And now is the judgment. But it says, we who are alive and remain will be caught up with those who come from the grave in the air. And so we will ever, always be with the Lord. What a reality to look forward to. What an assurance we have, because he rose victorious. He conquered sin, he conquered death, and he conquered the devil. Think of what that is, even. All of us as families have lost loved ones or know others who have lost loved ones during all this COVID stuff for the last few years and then for other reasons. In reality, you know, Paul says, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. See, Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. So even though we grieve and mourn when we lose loved ones, the reality is the sting of death is gone, because we know that if they have faith in Christ, they are with him, asleep in Christ, and we will all join them someday. We say by and by in the sky. But that's in God's time and in God's way. So until He comes. Let us continue to give witness to what he's done. In spite of opposition, in spite of those who would threaten us, in spite of those who would throw us in jail or whatever else, let us have the boldness and confidence of these disciples to say, you decide, is it better that I obey men or obey God? So who are we going to obey? Obey. Hopefully, by God's grace, we can obey him and still testify of what Christ has done for us and what that means to our world. In Jesus' name, amen.